Good morning. I just got to show you one thing. Well, two or four or six, but I'll show you this and this and this and this. The surgeons do great, but I just love it without the collar on. I mean, it's great, okay? But anyway, good morning. Thank you for coming this morning, whether you're here in person or whether you're streaming with us. I'm just glad you joined us. In considering what to preach to you this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to preach or teach, whatever you want to say, something that affects us all on a daily basis. Say, on a daily basis. So the title of the message this morning is A Daily Discipline, okay? A Daily Discipline. This daily discipline is also a daily decision that each one of us have to make. And you know how I ask questions at the beginning of the sermons many times? Well, today I've only got one question for you at the beginning of the sermon. And I really want you to think about this just for a minute. I want you to think if there are areas in your life where you are reaping a harvest from seeds that you wish that you had never sown. I'm going to say that again. All right. Is there an area in your life where you are reaping a harvest from seeds that you wish you had never sown? Yeah. Let's stand together and let's say our Bible declaration together. Just take your Bible, hold it up towards heaven. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just too happy this morning, way too happy. I think I'm going to have Serena come and pray right away this morning for the message. I'll be good.
Thank you. God, we are so thankful to be here. Mm-hmm. God, the world makes resolutions, God. We make declarations. We decide, God, and make choices of how we're going to live our year, how we're going to live our life on a daily basis. Father, I pray by the leading of your Holy Spirit that we would be led through your word every single day of 2026, that every morning we would wake up and ask the Holy Spirit to direct our footsteps through your word. It says your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, may we make that choice and decision to get up every day to seek your face and your heart, to know and walk in your ways, to hear your voice clearly and not follow any other. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do and go where only you can go in our hearts today.
Yes.
And bring a deeper revelation of who you are and who you want to be in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just want to say one thing. When we were, this week I was reading in John, and it might be John 5 or 4, and it's talking about the woman of the well at the well. When Jesus went to get a drink, and he asked a woman, which was unheard of, to even talk to a woman in that day to get him some water. And he told her everything that was going on in her life, but the one that I want to camp on is she said, we worship at this mountain. Samaritans worship here. You Jews worship over there. And he was saying, Jesus said, there's coming a time, and that time is now, when Samaritans won't worship over here and Jews won't worship over here, but you're going to worship together in unity. That time is now.
Amen.
We don't come to church on a Sunday to worship God. That's the Samaritan at the mountain. We don't wait and worship over here for salvation. That's the Jews. We worship every single day of our life.
Amen.
that's a daily choice that we make in our homes, everywhere we're at. You don't pick a time. I mean, you need a time that you choose every day to spend with God, reading, worshiping, praying. That's what every day, whether that's in the morning, at noon, whatever, you carve out that time. But God is saying, now is the time to worship him in spirit and in truth. That means if you're at the grocery store and you feel led, you start worshiping him. You don't have to throw a full-blown worship service down aisle five. But you start thanking him in your heart and in your mind, and you start worshiping him. God might lead you to talk to somebody. I don't know if it was someone preached how God led them, and to think about how God led to witness, it was you, Pastor Josh, the testimonies. And that brought back so many memories of how I would be in places where God would say, go talk to that person. When I first got saved. Because when you first get saved, you're more open to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And we've lost that, and we need to get back to that. Because other people's lives depend on it. And our lives depend on it because we get to know him more. So start to worship him. Not at that mountain on a Sunday morning and not over here, but every single moment that the Holy Spirit leads you. And if you open your heart up to him, you're going to be surprised how many times throughout the day that he's going to ask you to go worship him. Whether it's 2 seconds in the bathroom, wherever you're at. Whether it's just a minute, I'll be right back. Take that time because God wants to not only work something in you, but he wants to work something through you for someone else.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Can we pray just a minute? Or just lower our heads and... Thank you, Lord. You know what Serena said? I guess the question that I have and I pose to you this morning, is that where you're at today? Is that where your head's at today? You know, do you go to the store, or do you go to your relatives' homes or anywhere, and is that in your head? Are you thinking about how you can worship God? I mean, is he that important in your life? Or, I mean, I know you realize that you got to have him, because if you don't have him, you don't have anything. But is that where your mind is? You know, is that... I have found that the days and the times when I focus on the Lord, they are the best days that I have. I have more time. I have more patience. How many struggle with patience? Okay. Well, then get your mind set on the Lord. It seems to help a lot. But in this passage of scripture that Serena was referring to, the woman answered Jesus and said, I have no husband. Do you know the story? Or do I have to read further back? Okay. You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you truly spoke. So she was shacking up. Come on. Okay. She was just living with a man. Probably thinking that this marriage thing isn't really true and I shouldn't go get married again. I've been married five times. Okay? And she was probably thinking by that time that it's probably her. Okay? I had a guy at work one time when I worked at Johnson Tech come up to me and say, Wes, if I ever ask you to marry me, if I ever ask you to perform that ceremony, he says, I've been married three times and don't do it because I'm beginning to think it's me. But anyway, I find in this passage something that's so interesting. You know, here Jesus is talking about not her failure, but where she finds herself in life, okay, and what her history is. And, you know, she says this, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And you'd think she'd go on talking about her marriages, wouldn't you? But she changes the subject. Have you ever had somebody change the subject on you right in the middle of a conversation? Well, this woman did that, okay? And she said to Jesus, she said, Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Then Jesus corrects her, like Serena was saying, Woman, believe me, in the hour is coming. I'm sorry, I read King James even though I'm reading New King James. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. Do you know what you worship? Do you realize that he has delivered you from? Do you know what he has delivered you from? From your sin? What was your sin? Your sin was condemning you to hell. Amen? And you ought to just be excited and really thinking about that all the time. You know what? The Bible says we overcome him by the word of our testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. You know what my testimony is? It's the same as his. It's the same as hers. It's the same as everybody's. You know what it is? My testimony is Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for me. Now I am sin free. Glory to God. That's everybody's testimony. Sure, I can go into the drinking and the things I used to do and how hard I tried to make things right and I couldn't until the day I finally just gave up, and I did. My life was a mess, like a lot of you. The day I finally gave up and accepted Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, if he hadn't made that sacrifice for you and I, there wouldn't be a testimony to have. Amen? We overcome by his forgiveness and the fact that I accepted his forgiveness. And what's so amazing is even though it's all our decision, it's also all God's decision. Amen? I can't take credit for it. Can you? I can't take credit for it. I don't know why that one day I finally had it and I knew and I realized that accepting Christ was the only way I was ever going to make it. That's the only way my marriage was going to make it. That's the only way I was going to see my kids. Right? And I can't explain why that day everything becomes real, but God has a timing. Amen? Why did I have to do the things that I did for so long? I don't know. Maybe it just riveted it in my mind that I really, really needed to get saved. I went to church all my life, by the way. All my life. I don't think I was born in church, but it must have been close. Anyway, Jesus says something really interesting here. He says, the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers, how many of you here want to be true worshipers? Okay. Well, worship the Father in spirit and truth. What's that mean? Well, in the spirit, I can grasp that because in the spirit, I need the spirit in order to worship him. Amen. He's the link between myself and Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. Thank God he sent him. Without him, I'd have no way to get to Jesus. Are you with me? But what does it mean to worship in truth? Well, I come in here and I think about the people I lied to this week, and I say, God, I'm sorry, and then I worship. I don't think that's it. I don't think, maybe you could think of all the things you did wrong. Maybe it's just me that couldn't think of all the things I did wrong. What does it mean to worship in truth? I guess it boils down to worship. What is worship? You know, it's the giving of yourself to him because he's greater than you are, amen? And you are just confessing that and you want to show that outwardly, amen? But in truth. You know, it's easy to worship him when things are going good. It's easy to come to church on a Sunday morning and just raise your hands and stomp your feet, you know, and jump and shout when things are going good. It's even easy to do that when you know that you should do that and things are kind of going all right. But what about when things aren't going so good? What am I going to thank God about? I'm fighting with my wife. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm fighting with my wife. You know, I don't have enough money at the end of the bills to make it this month. Oh, Lord, thank you that I tithed this month and now I'm broke. I know what Jesus is saying here is when we worship in truth, and you've got to apply this, you've got to take this and put it into your life. It isn't the things that happen to us. When we worship in spirit and in truth, we worship with no hidden agendas. Come on. I know. I'll worship him today because I'm feeling depressed. No, that's true. That works. You know, you put on the spirit of praise or the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It works. It's truth. But that's not why you worship, because then you're not really worshiping. You're not giving to him. You're expecting something in return. Now, don't misunderstand me. When you worship, you do get stuff in return. Always, all right? Always. Yeah, always. You do get that, but that's not what you shouldn't be expecting that. When you worship, you're giving it all in this direction. And then praise God, he gives in this direction. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we worship him with no hidden agendas, it doesn't mean that I go to him because everything is so good. Man, it doesn't mean even the opposite, I go to him when everything is so bad. It means I go to him because he is worthy. Oh, come on, people. He is worthy. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He shed his blood for you. And because of that, because of the blood of Calvary, you can walk free today. Do you remember what it was like to walk in the bondage of the world? I do remember it. I mean, it was strong enough in my life. And I just praise God now. And I don't walk perfectly. I wish I did. You know, I make mistakes. But you know what? The blood of Jesus, glory be to God, covers my sin. Amen? The blood of Jesus. Oh, yeah, give him a hand this morning. The blood of Jesus covers our sin. And when we go to worship him, and I know, and I've probably preached it before. You know, we can't go to worship him when we're just wanting something. Yeah. How many of you have gone to worship before wanting something? Yeah, a few people are honest. You know, you might as well answer me. God knows anyway. When you worship the Father in spirit and in truth, there's a freedom that will come that you aren't expecting, okay? When you make him the number one point in your life, the number one thing that you're focusing on, which you should be doing in worship, you shouldn't be worrying about the person next to you. Oh, they don't raise their hands, do they? Oh, that person, he's sitting down. Maybe their legs hurt. Hello? And that's what I want to tell you is when you worship, it's kind of like you get in this a booth or a closet, okay? And it doesn't matter what's to the left of you or to the right of you. It doesn't matter that Josh hit a wrong key, which he never does. You're welcome. You're just so locked away with God. And somehow out of that time of worship, your walk becomes a little straighter. Are you with me? A little straighter. That's why I love praying and worshiping in the morning, because it's pretty hard to go out and do the wrong things after you've just spent time with the Lord. Amen? I mean, I don't want to, I'm hypocritical enough, I'm sure. But I don't want to do it on purpose. I make enough mistakes by mistake than to make them on purpose. So what would it be like? What would it be like if you came to church? No, why do you have to, you don't have to wait that long. If next time you worshiped at home, that you allowed yourself to be tucked away and just be thinking about Him. How many of you can think about everything that's going to happen during the day while you're worshiping? Yeah, I know it. Thank God I'm not the only one. But why don't you try this? And please, 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 worship, and we've said it before, you know, it isn't just for the church. It is for the church. And you get a different dynamic with a whole room worshiping. If you've ever gone to an Elevation concert, wow! You've got thousands of people with their hands up, and you can just feel the presence of God in a great way. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's nothing like the presence of God coming into your room. Amen? Because you're focused on Him, and you're worshiping Him, and you're not just waiting until Sunday morning to do what you know you should do all week long. But to get all alone with God and not be thinking about all the stuff and just focus, and I guarantee you will feel the presence of God. Not that it's all about feeling, but the presence of God will come in. Because you've decided to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I can worship Him for all of the things that He is, rather than all of the things that I receive, because He is what He is. So, you know, I'm not stupid, okay? And I know that probably the majority of us this morning, probably, I'm not going to say you don't take time to pray or read the Bible, because I really hope you do. But I think the thing that gets put in the back seat is worship. For me, the thing that always seems to come first is the reading of the Bible. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I can get so focused on what I'm reading and loving what I'm reading that I don't tear myself away in time to have the time of prayer or worship. That's okay sometimes. Okay? Sometimes. And it's okay to just pray sometimes. And sometimes it's okay to just worship. But I'm going to tell you, it's amazing when you pray and read and worship what happens, okay? When you worship Him for who He is, not saying, oh God, will you bless my day? You know, not that you shouldn't ask that. I understand that. I ask God to bless my day every day, bless my wife's day, you know, just bless my family, protect my family. I'm going to pray that. But when I worship, I disconnect from those things. And I go, God, it's You. It's You. And, you know, and for those of us that don't do that ever, other than a Sunday morning, notice what we do, right? We worship. Why? It prepares our heart. It prepares our heart to receive the Word of God. Okay? Why would it be any different at your house? And some of us would have to turn the tape deck up louder than others to drown yourself out. I sound pretty good when I have it turned really loud, man. I'm glad it doesn't I'm glad that God doesn't care what I sound like. Oh. You've heard me, huh? But all kidding aside, what if you, this week, I'm asking for 7 days, okay? What if you walk into your prayer room, your prayer closet? See, and this is why I have trouble with people that only pray in the car, and it's my issue, is I don't see where you can worship, focus on him, and not hit the truck that's coming at you. But that's me. Maybe, I mean, if that's the only place you got to do it, do it. But there's a thing called set the alarm earlier. It's found in John 4. No. But what if you took that time and just have this kind of a list that you're going to do? The first thing you're going to do is worship him for no other reason than he is who he is. Yep. Amen? For no other reason. And I'm not asking you to do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. If it's 5 minutes, that's okay. Do what works for you. Do it until you feel God. That's a strange thing, I know. But do it until you feel God. And then, I don't care if you pray, and then read, or read, and then pray. But I'll tell you, I have gone, I don't know how many years, without having God speak right to me, okay? Sure, I mean, God talks to me up here, man, and I love that, when he gives me something for you. But I like it when he gives me something. And what's so funny is when you get your eyes off yourself and onto him, he gives you what you need. And I'm going to preach on what he showed me as soon as I can say it without crying, okay? But there's a dimension of God that the majority of Christians never get to because they don't do the simple three, right? They don't worship and pray and read their Bible. Why? They must. They're Christians. I'm sorry. They might worship. They might pray. They might read the Bible or do none of them. But there's something about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, read, pray, worship, in threes. Do you understand what I mean here this morning? I had something so different prepared for you, but the Lord just stirred my heart about people, and it grieves my heart. I mean, it how do I want to say it? Grieves, make it sound like I'm mad. You're just missing. You're missing God. Not every day. Not every day, but I'm almost 70. I'm closer to 70 than 69, okay? I never thought I'd want to be 69, but now that I'm going to turn 70, that doesn't sound so bad. But I've found the thing that's important in my life, people will come and go. I'm going to love people, and I'm going to serve them to the most and the best degree that I can. But God was and is always there for me. If I can get my eyes off what he gives and put my heart back onto just a clean plane, and somehow, some way, when you don't have any hidden agendas and you're just worshiping him, the ability to receive, do you understand? It's like there's nothing in the way. There's nothing. I don't know about you. Man, I got so many things in the way. Yeah, my Jeep doesn't run. My other Jeep's making funny noises. Oh, no, gee whiz. Oh, the snowblower doesn't work either. Oh, it snowed last night. Oh, boy, you know. You know, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and all those thoughts come flooding in, and I'm done sleeping. I might as well get up. And I do. And I go pray. Most of the times here. I think Weston has said before, I think I saw your car at the church. Yeah. Or Mark Wilson, a friend of mine, he comes by, he walks every day, and he walks like at 5 in the morning, and I'll be sitting here, and all of a sudden he'll walk in, scare me half to death, and we'll talk, and says, your car is always here when I walk by. Do you go home? Do you walk home? Do you leave your car here? And I'm not saying, hey, me, but it's come to be important. It's come to be so important to me to be able to get to him and have nothing in the way. What about when you sin? I say, I'm sorry. There's something about the word repent that is just amazing. But I think, and I know in my own life, that there has to be that element of worship that goes into my reading and praying and worshiping. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you haven't done it, and I know a lot of us haven't done it because it seems weird to be worshiping, you know, when no one else is around, or why? It isn't. You know, it seems like, but it isn't. I think I told you this story. I'll just tell you one more time. One time I was up in my, we were building a house, and I was in the bedroom, right? And I had the boom box. Remember when the boom boxes, you know? I had that baby cranked right up, man. And I was just, thank you, Lord. And I was dancing, and I'd do it now, but I'd fall, okay? And I was going after the Lord, you know? And a guy named Merlin, who put our furnace in, he was probably 90 at the time, I thought. All of a sudden, he didn't knock. Well, if he did, I didn't hear him. But he just opened the door. And the door is right at the top of the steps. So he peered in. His head was about this far off the floor, you know, like this. And I'm just worshiping. And I'm going, hi. That's when it's weird, okay? It isn't weird every day. It isn't weird for you to worship. And I think it's really apropos for us to worship. And I think it's even, if we look at worshiping and we look at the order in which we do things, it's for only right to do it first. I want my heart prepared if God's got something for me. I want to be open to what he says. You know what? Sometimes he says things to me that I don't like.
Yeah, definitely. But he still says them.
Yeah. But it's hearing the voice of God. Sometimes he says things to me that just make me cry. But there's something about having it clear, yes, having the road clear. And you do that by worshiping him in truth. Amen. Because in truth, I worship him because I know who he is. In truth, I worship him because I know his name. The Bible, in Psalm 9:10, again, I guess I'll look it up. I know it by heart, but I know it in King James. And I don't want to you to death, okay? And they that know thy name, all right, and they that know thy name shall, I got to get this. And they that know thy name, I think it's, shall worship thee, because thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thy face. And it's a little different in each version. Some says the righteous. But there's so much. I mean, the two joined together. Righteous. The righteous person does what? Seeks God. Could you do that this week? Could you try that this week? I don't have time, Pastor Wes. Then get up 5 minutes earlier. or go to bed 5 minutes earlier. Have you ever noticed when you get older, I've been told, when 8 o'clock rolls around, you're going, why am I not in bed? Things have changed, haven't they? Just changed. Oh, come on, you're in bed already. What are you talking about? But can you do that? Can you just wake up 5-10 minutes earlier and go to the Lord and just worship him? Don't worship him for anything other than who he is, not for what he can give. Turn on some music. If you can't turn on some music because you'd wake everybody up, just do it without music. Well, what do I say? Are you ready? I worship you. I praise you. I thank you. You're faithful. You're Jehovah Jireh. You give me just exactly what I need. You're Jehovah Rapha. You are my personal healer. Glory to God. I'm not asking for healing. I'm just telling you that I just thank you because you're the healer. Amen? His banner over me is love. He loves me. God, thank you that you love me. Even though I do things, God, I'm sorry. But God, I love you and thank you that you love me. And if that comes from your heart, that can do more than an hour worship service. But I would encourage you to, if you can, turn on some music and do it that way. And I know. I challenge you with 3x5 cards and this and that and the other thing. And I really have no way to gauge whether any of you ever do any of those things. But I plead with you. Let worship be a part of your routine, okay? Your religious routine. And by golly, you better be religious about your praying and reading and worshiping. Because in those times, when you're religious about them, it makes you do them. All right, one more thing. And I've received from God more in those times when probably I haven't felt like going. And I've made the sacrifice of going and doing it anyway. Anyway, this week, okay? Get up out of bed, right? If you need to, just worship him. Just thank him. Amen? The time is coming, and now is. And now is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your head with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, this isn't what I planned. This isn't what I worked on. But God, I pray. God, I pray that the message that you birthed in my heart this morning, that you prompted through Serena, I pray that it would take root in our hearts. My heart, God. Everybody's heart. That it wouldn't just be, you know, what did Pastor preach yesterday? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Remember one thing. God, put it in people's hearts and minds to worship. To worship. In spirit, with that divine connection, and in truth, with no hidden agendas. And God, we will thank you for it. And God, you are so good. Your goodness, David said, your goodness extendeth not unto me. I'm not that good. But thank you, Lord, that you are good. And that your love just covers us, along with the blood that covers us. And the freedom that we can walk in. And I thank you for the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray right now. And everybody said, amen and amen. Amen. Just if you still have your head bowed, or do it again. If you have had a hard time getting that routine established in your life, the routine of worship and reading and prayer, there's always something that gets in the way. You get started, you go 1-2 days, and then you go quite a while. If that's you this morning, please don't be shy, but would you just raise your hand for me to see? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to ask you. No, I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I pray that there would be an ability in these people's lives that have raised their hands. Lord, that there would be an ability, a drive, a discipline, God, that every morning, or if it's every night, but at a specific time every day, they would do these three things. I pray it, God. I pray it. I beseech you, Lord. It will change their lives. And I thank you for change, God. Thank you for change. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted.
Amen.
And amen. Prayer partners, would you come to the front, please? This altar is open. If you want to come to the altar and establish anything with the Lord, why don't you stand with me, please? And we're going to close the service or continue the service, depending on what happens at the altar here. Okay? So why don't we stand and worship the Lord together? And if you need to come to the altar, or if you want to come to the altar, please come.